Can you imagine just for a second? I mean, we all know the drill. It's Christmas. It's Jesus as a baby. But just for a second, if somebody handed you Jesus as a baby, just every time I try to think about it, I can't get my mind wrapped around it. And we sing that song every single year, and we talk about adoring and all the things. And I want you to think for a second, when's the last time you held a newborn baby? Or maybe a baby that was a couple of weeks old. If you haven't done that lately, we have nursery every Sunday. So there's always room for more. Hold those little ones. And you can hand a baby to the most hardened man and he'll start smiling. He'll soften up in a second. There's just something about a newborn baby. I love it when people post pictures on social media, when they have kids, you have grandkids, it just makes you smile. We're gonna talk a little bit about that tonight. This whole idea of adoring Jesus at Christmas, this whole idea of adoration and adoring a newborn baby. And since I've been thinking about this for a little while, maybe you're new to New Hope. My wife, Morgan, and I, we have three boys. They're older now. Sam is 15, Jacob is 13, Henry is 9. But I started thinking back to when each of them were born, and I brought pictures. So I brought pictures, and so this is our oldest, Sam. This is his baby picture. Y'all did that well. Y'all did that well. It's good. And there's Jacob, our middle son. Yes, that is Morgan holding him, in case anybody was wondering. So I love that picture too. And then Henry, our little baby. So he is a third child, so. But all three times, it was just incredible to get to hold these newborn babies. And I wanna kinda share a little bit of our story with Sam and how he was born and how he entered the world. We didn't quite run into as many challenges as Mary Joseph did when there wasn't room for them in the end, but we did have our fair share of challenges. And somewhere in there, I think there's some things that we can learn as we reflect on the Christmas story tonight. So as I just mentioned, Sam is 15. He was born on August 30th, 2009. And we were living in New York City at the time. I served at a great church there called the Journey Church for 4 years as their small groups pastor. And so all summer, we knew Sam was gonna be born at the end of August. And we took the entire summer to come up with a plan. Like, how are we actually going to have this baby in this incredibly crazy city? Because there were some obstacles and some challenges that most people don't have to face. I mean, most of the time when you have a baby, you hop in your car, you drive to the hospital, and you have the baby. Well, we didn't have a car, and we took the subway train just about everywhere that we went. But I had kind of ruled that out because I just didn't think that getting on a train with my wife in labor was somehow a good plan. And so I was like, you know, we can't take a train when it's time for you to go to the hospital. But then as we talked more and more about it, we realized that getting a car, a taxi, a car service, something like that was gonna be a challenge. So I don't expect you to have like a map of New York City in your mind. So I brought one with me because I want you to see the challenge that we faced. Now, mind you, this was before Google Maps. We couldn't just pull this up, right? But if you look at this map, you'll see the East River is right in the middle. Now, we lived on one side of the East River in Queens, and our hospital was on the other side of the East River in Manhattan. And so, not quite the Upper West Side, but pretty close to it. And when I pulled this map up one day this past week, it was just the middle of the day, not even rush hour, and you can see there's a really red line, as Google always does, just to rub it in our face when there's traffic, okay? So this particular red line is going across the Queensboro Bridge, and at this particular time, that was a 42-minute drive. Now, what you can't see is the other line that's kind of the one that you could choose if you don't want to go the red route on Google Maps, is about 35 or 50 minutes, and it's going through the Midtown Tunnel under the river. So if we're gonna get in a car with my wife in labor, we have two options, none of which are good. And in my mind, she's either gonna give birth in the middle of a bridge or she's gonna give birth in the middle of a tunnel, all right? This is why we were taking all summer to come up with a game plan, because I didn't want to have a baby in the middle of a bridge or in the middle of a tunnel. And so I was kind of stressed about this. It's our first child. I wasn't sure how we were going to quite get to the hospital. And then lo and behold, Morgan helped us out incredibly. She went into labor late on a Saturday night into Sunday morning. And so at 4 o'clock on a Sunday morning, that's the only time there's no traffic in New York City. It's time to go to the hospital. I'm like, this is perfect. We couldn't have planned this any better. And so like I call the car service and they come pick us up. And you know, when you see a woman getting into the car and you're saying we're going to the hospital, he immediately thinks like, she's gonna have this baby. So he starts speeding. I'm like, dude, slow down. Like, she's not having the baby right now. We've got plenty of time. And so he gets us to the hospital. It was a nice, easy ride, no traffic, all the things. So we go into the hospital. And again, I'm not trying to take a shot at the wonderful city of New York, but it's just a little different. It's just a little different, all right? So you got 8 million people just in New York City living in very close proximity with one another. And what that means oftentimes is they let you know when they're ready for you at the hospital, not the other way around, okay? So we went to the hospital and they were like, you know what? We actually need a little bit more time before we can admit her. And she's visibly in labor, but you know, who are we? We're not gonna argue with them. So we turn around and go back out of the hospital. And now it's about 5:30 in the morning. And we go sit on a bench outside the hospital. And my wife's in labor. There's people walking by like, lady in labor. There's a hospital there. Does she not know? And so, you know, keep walking, man. All right, so I'm trying to now figure out what we're gonna do. I mean, we can't go back across the East River back into Queens. We'll never make it back to the hospital in time. We can't go into the hospital. We can't sit out here on a bench all day. And then it hits me, wait a second, our offices are empty right now. So it's a Sunday morning. We had offices in Midtown about 15 blocks from where we were, and nobody's in the offices because they're out doing church on a Sunday. We rented facilities on Sunday for services. And so I said, babe, we can just go down to my office for a little while, and then we'll come back, you know, whenever they tell us we can come back. I didn't really know what to say, y'all. And so we got into a cab, and we get into the taxi cab, and I've often thought about this guy and the story he was able to tell all of his buddies about the day that he picked up a woman in labor and drove her away from the hospital. And that's exactly what he did, and he took us down to my office, and we got out and went inside, and our office was on the same floor as a recording studio that also had many parties in the weekend, and the party was just wrapping up, y'all, as we were getting there with my wife and pregnant, starting to have the baby. Well, she didn't start to have the baby, but the point of that is there were drunk, passed out dudes in the women's restroom. So anyway, that was kind of just a nice little side note, but I took care of him, y'all. I just took care of him, right? I drug him out. Pastors do that? If your wife's about to have a baby, yes. All right, so I took him out. Not took him out, really took him out, but I took him out of the bathroom. She had to go to the bathroom. And so then she comes back to my office and for about an hour or so, and then it's just kind of like, we're gonna have this baby. And so we go back outside, we get in another cab, and this time it is on. I mean, she's screaming in the cab, I'm screaming in the cab, he's screaming in the cab, and we get there, and we get out, and we get in the hospital, and I'm just like, this is not at all how we had this planned, but at least now, like, they're admitting us, and I'm like, okay, it's go time. And right about the time I realized that we're good, we're gonna have this baby, I remembered something that I was supposed to do, and I had forgotten to do it, and it was really important, y'all. I had forgotten to call her parents. And her parents were in a campground out in Long Island because they had driven their camper up from Georgia to make sure they could be there when we had the baby, and my job was to call them when we went to the hospital so they could make the hour drive into New York City, and by this time, that bridge was real crowded, y'all. And so I made the phone call, and I said, yeah, we just got to the hospital, because technically we had just gotten to the hospital. It was for the second time, but they didn't need to know that. My mother-in-law has since told me all of the wonderful things she said about me after she hung up the phone that day, all right? So they start driving in and they get there, and thankfully they got there in time. I called my parents because I was like, I think they were gonna fly up from Atlanta, but I'm not sure. And lo and behold, they had gotten the first flight out on standby that day, so they were already in the city. And to be as crazy as it was, it all actually came together right in that afternoon. And at 4:30 that afternoon, Sam was born. It was amazing. They handed me this little child. And in that moment, everything I just told you went away. It didn't matter that I had been up all night. It didn't matter that we had taken 3 different car rides that morning. It didn't matter that we had been in my office. It didn't matter that the dudes were in the restroom. No, I'm holding my son. And in that moment, I felt a little bit of what it meant to really adore a newborn baby. And I've gotten to do that two more times since then. Now, with the other two, I mean, y'all, we moved back to the South. We got a minivan to heck with having babies in New York City, right? I mean, we acted like normal people, just drove our minivan to the hospital. Jacob was born in Georgia, Henry was born in Georgia. And there's just absolutely nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. And even if you're not a parent, you know what it is like to look at a baby. Now, why am I telling that story? I think it's a fun story. I like to share it. But I actually think that our familiarity with the story, our fondness for adoring a newborn baby, maybe even a little bit of sentimentalism that goes into it, it sometimes keeps us from recognizing the power of what actually happened at Christmas. See, children weren't celebrated or valued in the culture in the first century. Nobody other than the mother of a child would have thought about adoring a newborn baby. I mean, when the shepherds showed up that night, they were not oohing and aahing over Jesus. They weren't asking if they could hold him. They weren't passing him around. It's very culturally different in the first century than it is for us now. And my fear, church, is that so many times when we get to Christmas, we project onto the story the way that we think we would have acted had we been there and seen Jesus as a newborn baby. And for many of us, if I can just be as blunt as I can be on this Christmas Eve, that's really where your understanding of Jesus ends. You circle back around to it once a year. You know the story. You could get up here and tell it better than me. But for you, Jesus is safe and he's sweet and he's cute as that baby in a manger. And you've never gotten past the baby in the manger. And you know what happened because you know the Easter story as well. That he grew up and that he lived the perfect life and that he died on the cross and that he defeated death through the resurrection. But see, the message I would love for you to consider this Christmas is the difference that exists. There is a big difference between adoring a newborn baby and worshiping a newborn king. And when Jesus was born that night, he was not born just as a baby. He was born as a king. And he did grow up to live a perfect life. And he did go to the cross. And he did defeat death through the resurrection. And so many times when we talk about Jesus at Christmas, we reflect upon the first coming when Jesus came to earth. And we rightly should. But so many times we forget to mention the promise of his second coming. And Jesus has promised that he will return. And see, Jesus is actually alive right now. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's waiting for that command to return. The closest thing that Jesus had to a best friend on this earth was his disciple named John. John refers to himself in his gospel as the disciple whom Jesus loved. John penned that gospel, he penned three letters, and then he also had this remarkable opportunity to receive what we now know as the revelation, where Jesus gave him a glimpse of what is to come. It's the prophetic word from God's word that is yet to be fulfilled. And someone as familiar with Jesus as John was didn't recognize Jesus when he got to see Jesus in Jesus's current state. I'm gonna read you a passage. It's kind of long, hang with me. It's from the book of Revelation. John says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven lampstands. Among the lampstands was someone, listen to his description of Jesus, like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like blazing fire, his feet like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. See, church, John gives us an accurate description of what Jesus is like right now. And see, when Jesus came at the first coming, he came as an innocent baby. But see, at the second coming, he will come as a reigning king. See, at the first coming, it was a silent night. But at the second coming, he will literally split the sky. At the first coming, the shepherds showed up and they bowed down to worship. But you see, at the second coming, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. My question for you tonight is, are you ready for that? Scripture is very clear that Jesus could return at any time, and we don't talk enough about that as a church. But I would not be loving you well if I didn't ask you that simple question this Christmas. Are you ready? If God decided this week that fateful day is here and Jesus returned, would you be ready? There were people who were with us last Christmas in this room. They're not with us this Christmas. There's no promise of tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year. And if you're here tonight because it's Christmas and you're celebrating the Christmas season, I'm so glad you came. But I want you to consider leaving tonight differently than you came in. Not because of a few songs you sung or some fun we had with kids earlier in our time together tonight, but because you finally made Jesus the Lord and the King of your life. You moved him beyond the manger to his rightful place, seated on the throne of your life. Would you bow your head with me just for a few minutes? Hey, if you're here and that's you, you've never come to a place in your life where you've recognized what Jesus did for you to make peace with God possible for you. That's why we say peace on earth, goodwill towards men. But each person must decide what they want to do with what Jesus did for them. And so if you're seated here tonight, you've never come to a place in your life where you've moved Jesus out of the manger to be the Lord and Savior of your life. The best way you know how, right where you're seated, it's not the words you say, it's the condition of your heart. Would you just say, Jesus, I admit that I need you. Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. But I believe you paid the price for my sin. And Jesus, I believe you defeated death through the resurrection, and you are alive right now. So I want to ask you to come into my life and save me. And from this day forward, I want to make you the Lord and the leader of my life. I don't want Christmas to just be something once a year I reflect upon you in a manger. But every day now moving forward, I want to serve you as my king. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer, everybody's heads are bowed, everybody's eyes are closed, but I would love to pray for you this Christmas season. Would you mind just slipping your hand up just for a second, just so I can pray for you this week? Thank you. Thank you. Everybody's heads are still bowed. If you prayed that prayer, if you slipped your hand up at the end of our service tonight, we're going to have some members of our prayer team down front. They're going to have just a couple of resources to encourage you on your new journey with Christ. I would encourage you to make sure before you leave, you come down front and talk with one of them. Let them encourage you. Let them pray for you. God, for the rest of us, we just come together right now and just say thank you. God, we say thank you for your faithfulness to send your son at Christmas. to send him to be the perfect sacrifice for us. To be faithful to see your great plan of redemption through by raising him from the dead. And God, we're glad that what we see right now is not the full completion of the story you're telling. That there will be a day where you will look to your son and say, go get my children. God, we long for that day. But until we get to that day, God, will you remind us daily of your presence? Will you pour out your spirit? Will you remind us that you've called us to be a light? God, thank you that we can be here tonight with one another, worshiping you at Christmas. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.